We having a baby, y'all.
Baby number 4 on board. Deadass. Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we mm-hmm. are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
I'm going to take us back to February 6th,
okay,
2021. Mm-hmm. Kadeen and I have been away from each other now for about 2 weeks because mm-hmm. I had to go film season 3 of Sisters. So I'm in Atlanta, she's in LA. And just like the last time we moved from New York to LA, I was filming while she was moving us across country.
Always.
So.
Not doing that again.
She's moving us across country. I'm filming. I'm getting calls from the movers to call off my wife because my wife is going crazy on everybody, right?
Off with everybody's head.
And I'm like, sorry, guys, I can't do that because whatever she said y'all did that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm on her side. So me and the movers are going back and forth. Me and Kay are going back and forth and we beefing. And this Wednesday night, Sisters comes on. And we're trending because of a bathroom scene. Mm-hmm. A particular bathroom scene.
Y'all know which one he's talking about?
That involved the blue light. Right? It's called the Blue Light Special. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. This is the scene where Zach and Fatima finally get the do on in the bathroom. And there was a blue light in there. And I end up picking Fatima up and doing my thing, right? So at the end of shooting, we were done shooting February 13th. Mm-hmm. I had told Kadeen that I wasn't going to be done filming until after the weekend.
15th,
the
yeah.
15th, which would be after Valentine's Day. So she was like, it's all right, babe. You know what I'm saying? We'll get together and stuff like that after Valentine's Day. So February 13th, we ended up wrapping. Didn't tell Kadeen. So I drive from the studio to now our new home. We had just finally moved into Atlanta. And the house don't got nothing in it. It's like empty. I walk up to the door and we don't have no doorbell at this time. So I'm just standing at the door trying to figure out how I'm going to, you know, get in because I don't have the key yet. We literally just moved in. So I'm knocking at the door. Nobody's coming to the door. Then I see a figure with a blanket just walk by the door and stop and look at me. And I'm like,
yo, I was like, that was straight out of like a whole horror film. Like you see stuff like that all the time. Like a girl will be walking past like an open window and there's somebody standing there and you had on like your big bubble coat.
Yeah.
And it was just a shadow of a big figure in my doorway.
And she's standing looking at me. I'm looking at her and then she just turns her head sideways.
I'm like,
yo, open the door.
Him?
She comes to the door slow. She opens. She goes, oh, babe. So I go downstairs, say what's up to the boys. She's like, I'll meet you upstairs in the bedroom. So I get to the bedroom and she goes, I'm chilling in the bed. We don't have no mattress yet. We on the air mattress. So Kadeen turns all the lights off. She turns the fireplace on. And then lastly, she clicks on a blue light. And now, here we are.
Here we are.
Forever. And I know.
Hey. Hitting with the
So you're having my baby. And it means so much to me. There's nothing more precious.
Nothing in the world.
Than to raise a family.
Hey.
If there's any doubt in your mind,
too late.
You can count on me. I'll never ever let you down, baby. Believe in me.
I'm gonna hit you with the you and I. You and I.
We knew right from the start.
Hey. You and I.
I forgot the next part.
It will never be a part. The day, right?
I really don't remember, but now our baby is born, healthy and strong, and our dreams are reality.
Triple, turn his
forever,
mic down.
Forever, my lady.
Turn his mic down.
That's the part I was out. The problem was, I was waiting for the ooh yeah. I was waiting for that the whole time.
And then you forgot all the rest of the song.
Because I don't ever sing the words of the song. I'm one of those people, I don't sing the words. I just say the sounds of the words as the real singers sing the words because right. I know I can't sing.
Right.
So I just be in the car like, let you down. But I'm excited, baby.
I can tell.
Because you're forever my lady. Let's talk about this, right, baby, because the people want to know.
The people want to know.
I've been on you about having another baby for 4 years now.
At least. I think the minute Kaz was born, the funny thing, we had Kaz at home with our midwife in Brooklyn, and it was literally like an amazing experience that Javal was just like, we could totally do this again.
Yes.
And I was like, when? Like, not now. I'm like, I just had Kaz.
Yes.
Can I recuperate?
Yes.
But it was a beautiful experience. So
It was.
I did kind of feel deep down in that moment. I was like, man, if I could have had all my boys this way,
yeah,
then it would have been amazing. So yeah. I kind of felt like that was an experience that I would not have been opposed to having again.
I agree. I also feel like we have an amazing testimony going from where we started. Mm-hmm. Having kids, you know, with Jackson and then Kyron and Kaz, it's like we gradually got to this home birthing experience, but that testimony can just be a way for us to share with other people what we've gone through. So although I wish we could have had all three because it would have been more peaceful for you especially, I feel like there was a reason why we had to go through that. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited. All of our boys are different. Their birthing experiences are all different, so
yeah, so I'm excited to see.
Yeah. You know
what this is going to look like for us. Because now we're in a new space.
Yes.
A new state. We have three boys.
But I do want my fourth child to be born in Brooklyn. I don't know how we're going to do that.
How are we going to do that? How do we make that work? I'm going to have to call. Well, see, I was looking to call up my former midwife, Takiya, who's now retired. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to find a way to bribe
allegedly.
Her.
Allegedly. She's allegedly retired. Allegedly.
That might be indefinitely. I kind of feel like I need to respect her space and that she's retired now. However, Takiya. Sis.
She the goat.
You trying to pull up?
She the goat.
Are you trying to come out of retirement for me?
I'll never forget Takiya's voice. You was like, so Takiya, you going to tell me what to do? She was like, no, Kadeen. You're going to tell me what to do. And I was like, then what the fuck you here for? I was confused. I really was confused.
Like, so wait a second. She not going to deliver the baby? She's like, Kadeen will deliver the baby, and I will be here.
I was like, oh,
to assist
Jesus.
And support. And like, oh, meanwhile, I'm just like, tell me when to push.
But it went just like that, though.
But it literally did. Like, yeah. I was totally in control of that whole situation. Yeah. Thank God there were no complications.
Yes.
I entrusted my body to do what it was designed to do, and it did not fail me.
It was a very peaceful situation. It was. And she was so peaceful. So shout
out to we had to figure that out. I don't know how we're going to have this baby in Brooklyn, but. You know,
we'll figure that out. So
semantics.
I know the people want to know how we got to this decision. This is not an easy decision for anyone to make. There's so many different variables when we talk about age, the amount of kids we have, finances, and careers. Mm-hmm. Like those are the four main things. So
discussed and took into consideration.
And I know a lot of it is you making that decision. So let's start with. Age. I want to ask you. I'm gonna interview you. Let me play Kadeen for a minute.
Okay,
I'm gonna be Kadeen. I got my laptop here, so I can
questions.
Look important.
Look at you, looking all organized and whatnot. You really got questions?
No, let me sit here.
All right, pull them up.
A minute. How you be sitting here?
You're right.
That's how she be sitting. Huh?
Actually, no. You gotta cross your legs. So I don't be sitting like that. There you go.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay. So Kadeen.
Yes.
What made you decide at 37 years old that you wanted to have another baby for Devon?
Well, for DeVal, because I don't think it would have been for anyone else. Mm-hmm. Put that out there. Thank you. But it was a difficult decision for me, mainly because I kind of felt a sense of relief after having Kaz. I had Kaz literally a week before my 34th birthday. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I was like, okay, cool. I'm done with kids. Mm-hmm. I'm 33. You know, I can just bounce back from this, hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, and just be on my merry way raising my three boys. Mm-hmm. And of course, once medically, you know, according to medicine, when you hit 35, you then enter this realm of
geriatric.
Yes. See, the funny thing is when I mentioned the word geriatric.
Yeah, that's wild disrespectful. But yeah, go ahead.
I mentioned it to my OBGYN and she was offended for me. She was offended for every woman 35 and over. And she was like, that is not a good terminology to use for that's that. But you know, there are certain risks that are associated with pregnancies mm-hmm. over 35. Mm-hmm. There's also a decline in the quality and number of eggs that women mm-hmm. have. So that was a concern of mine. I was like, man, is that something that I want to have to mm-hmm. do over 35, you know? And that was in part to a lot of not the pressure I felt, but in my timeline of life, I felt like, man, I want to have my children, you know, in my 20s, early 30s, so that way I can avoid having to deal with that. Because with 35 and over, pregnancies come many different testings for high risk.
Can I be honest? And
things like that.
I think a lot of those tests, because they don't pay attention to Black women, mm-hmm. are not done on Black women. Because I know a lot of women over 35 who are Black who have healthy kids and who have tons of eggs and who have kids well into their 40s. Like, if you think
that's
about
true.
Your,
we do know a lot of people.
Think
like
about
that.
Your mom, my mm-hmm. mom, yeah. your grandmother,
yeah.
my grandmother. They have tons of kids. And I wonder if a lot of those tests who are done with those statistics don't include Black women.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
Because even
just because
when,
with Black maternal health care, there's really, with Black maternal health care, there's really little care that goes into the care of Black women.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is a harsh reality, but it is reality. But mm-hmm. that also makes me wonder, like, some of the things they say or have said to us. For example, mm-hmm. it was said to us that while you're breastfeeding, you won't ovulate. So that's mm-hmm. almost like a form of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Cass.
Right.
So it makes me wonder, like, who is that?
Right.
And then all of the Jamaican women mm-hmm. in your family was like, who told you that?
Right. I mean, I guess everything is it's relative to the person.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? You know, but no, you're right. You're right. It would be interesting, maybe in season 6 of the podcast, as we go into the pregnancy, and we'll kind of take you guys on the journey that we've had or we will be having, to bring maybe Takiya back or an expert to talk about that, because that's an interesting, great. Interesting thing.
Age was a factor, but you decided.
And also too, I kind of felt like I wanted to be able to be the mother that I have been to Jackson, for example, who's now 10. Mm-hmm. You figured he's going to be now 10 years apart from this baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to kind of lose steam. You know, you hear about mm-hmm. people having multiple children and then you have a child later on in life. And it's like, are you able to keep up with that child the right. same way you did when you were in your 20s, you right. know? And it's just a thing because it's age, it's energy, it's just having more to do. So many factors go into that. So I was a little concerned about being able to be everything that I wanted to be for a fourth child that I was for my first child, because I want each of my children to experience me in some sort of wholeness.
Okay.
So that was a concern for me.
Okay.
But
it wasn't a deal breaker. So
wasn't
age, obviously because you're pregnant.
Yes.
So let's talk about career, mm-hmm. right? I as a man, I'm fortunate enough to never have to stop my career to carry a child.
Mm-hmm.
But you as a woman have had to do it 3 times already.
Right.
Right. Were you concerned? Or are you concerned about having to stop again mm-hmm. to have a child?
So it's interesting. That was a major concern for me, I want to say, when I had Cairo and Kaz. Because, of course, in the very beginning with Jackson, we were still kind of establishing ourselves. Mm-hmm. I was establishing myself in my career path, my career field. And I felt like, okay, at 27, I can definitely bounce back, have a baby, mm-hmm. and be fine. And then there's the pauses that had to happen with Cairo and Kaz. But I think what saves me now in this circumstance is being able to have a career field that gives me flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me autonomy over my time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to necessarily leave my home to work now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually even pre-pandemic. You know, we were right. traveling a lot, yes, for right. work and making appearances and speaking places and hosting events. However, we have a career path now that gives me a lot more flexibility.
So being able to create your own content.
Yes, I can create my own content. I can kind of do my own thing. So that made it a lot easier for me because I felt like I wasn't in the confines of, I have to look a certain way. I have to be a certain weight to get this job. Now, naturally, if I want to do more acting gigs and stuff like that, I'll have to take a little bit of time off to then bounce back from that. But so, it's not completely stopping my professional life.
So being, you know, being an entrepreneur and having your own business, as opposed to being a slave to the entertainment industry or the standards of what you have to look like in the entertainment industry, or being a slave to corporate America and have to legitimately work a 9 to 5 plus extra hours to constantly move up, you felt like being an entrepreneur helped you feel like it was okay to be a mom and still run your business.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you think about it. A lot of the stuff that we do, and we even this podcast, for example, you know, we're in a space now where we can't necessarily go to a studio freely and we're still dealing with COVID restrictions. We just have everyone come to us now. You know, we can do it from our home. Right. So once the baby is here and we're filming season 6, or if I'm, you know, big pregnant and we're doing season 6 or even season 7, I don't have to worry about childcare necessarily. I mean, just in this moment, but there are a lot of different ways to maneuver, and having that flexibility made me feel like, okay, now this is something that's actually feasible for me, and I don't have to have that mom guilt associated with leaving my child for hours, not being able to be there, having to worry about childcare and all that. And then also to my career having to be put on hold, you know?
Okay.
And I'm confident that I also too, after the baby, will be able to bounce back and, you know, get back in front of the camera in whatever capacity I want to. And then I feel like I'll be done. I feel like I'll be honest in that, I always wondered if I was kind of using this, I don't know if I'm going to have another baby, as a scapegoat to not like 100% go for my acting career as well. Because I kind of feel like part of me felt like, well, damn, I'm going to have to stop again to have another baby. So like, why go full force? Let me wait until I'm actually officially done. Because
so everyone, you were self-sabotaging.
In a sense, I think I definitely was. I can honestly say that. I think in a part of me was just like, well, you know, damn, if I have another baby, then I'm gonna have to restart all over again. Then you have to get your name back out there again.
So what were you afraid of?
I was just afraid of having to do all of that to then start all over again, or being forgotten in that moment. You know how the industry is. You go and have a baby for a year, then there's new people coming along and that they're booking for jobs.
Absolutely.
You know, so you figure there's 9 months to carry this baby, or 10 months. Then you have the whole postpartum phase, and it's getting back in shape. It could be a whole daunting year and a half to 2 year process, depending on the person
and
how hard you work, you know? Yeah. And then you also have the confines and the standards of looking a certain kind of way. So then you have women who are forced to feel like they have to crash course back into, at 6 week checkup, okay, let me start dieting and exercising because I have to be back to film in a month or two. So they say every woman knows, like inside deep down, like when they're done. I never had that feeling after Cass. I always kind of felt like I could have another baby, like I'm not completely 100% done. So now I feel like after this child, once I have that completely 100% done feeling, then the sky is going to be the limit for me, especially when it comes to my career, because I feel like I don't have to reset, restart, redo anything over again. I can just focus on myself, on my body, on my mental, and go from there.
So full transparency, did you feel any pressure from me and me saying I want to have another baby to say, you know what, let me just do this for DeVal?
No, good question. I didn't. I didn't, because I think on the converse side of that, you also made it very clear that you were content with our three boys.
You were
content with our three boys. You also made it clear to me that you fully supported me 110% in whatever like road I wanted to take. And also too, I know that you empowered me to make the decision for myself, because you fully understand and you've seen and witnessed
what it took
to get all three boys here. And I know that you respect that. So I never at any point felt any like guilt, like, damn, this, like I have to, like I'm on the fence about this, but I, you know, because I honestly feel like as a couple, as a married couple, we do have to have the conversation. I do want to acknowledge how you feel. But I do feel like as much as it's a collective decision, you've made me feel empowered to feel like it was ultimately my decision, which I respect. So that made it easier for me to then say, you know what, I'm going to make this decision for myself and for my family and my husband. And then our boys are just so damn freaking amazing.
Speaking of our boys, right? How much were you concerned about finances when it came to having another child? Because I remember when we had Jackson, you said, I'm not having any more kids in this apartment. Like, we we have to do better in order to provide a better lifestyle. And then we ended up having three boys in that apartment.
I know.
So do you think us moving from the apartment to LA, then now having our home here where we have enough space, did that in any way make you feel like, you know what, I think I'm in a better place now to have?
Absolutely. Jackson, I feel like it's funny because it was the three of us for 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. In part because we had a traumatic birthing experience with Jackson. Yeah. I also think in part because we were just so in love with Jackson, mm-hmm. that time was just flying by and we were mm-hmm. like, oh shoot, it's about 5 years and it's just been the three yeah. of us. Maybe we should have another baby. But also too, early on, even before meeting you, a part of me felt like I wanted to have children and give, and it be a quality over quantity experience.
Okay.
So I didn't want to have several children and not be able to provide adequately or in abundance for several children. I wanted all of my children to be able to have the same kind of lifestyle, right. the same kind of opportunity, right. not feeling that there was a deficit and not feeling like there was a strain.
Mm-hmm.
With Jackson, we were hustling.
Yes.
We were hustling. Jackson yeah. came at a point in our lives where we were struggling in our marriage because we were newlyweds. He was yeah. a honeymoon baby.
Yeah.
So not only were we recouping from this wedding, we were recouping from the recession. We were recouping from moving back from Michigan to moving back to Brooklyn from Michigan. There were so many scenarios that Jackson was born into that made it very stressful for us. Yeah. I think what saved us was Jackson in a sense, because that was like our collective.
Absolutely. I agree.
That was our collective, like, if there's anything to fight for, it's Jackson. And he was just such a sweet, amazing kid, and still yeah. is to this day, that it made it that much easier.
It's funny you say that, though. Jackson saved us, but in so many ways. We both were so focused on Jackson that mm-hmm. we lost sight
of each other.
Of each other. You know yeah. what I'm saying? So we had yeah. to learn how to, you know, be what we needed to be for each other while being parents. And I think exactly. we learned that at year five
mm-hmm.
of our marriage.
Yeah, know? Definitely. So that was a lot of turmoil that we went through at that point in time. And then, like I said, I was like, I'm like, we're in this apartment. We're going to outgrow it. Like, I don't want to have any more children here. And then, like you said, came yeah. Cairo. And then Kaz was like, bam, right after that, right 6 after. Months later, I was pregnant. And I was like, well, we didn't even think about that.
Just to be clear, women be concerned about the bounce back. I don't think there was any more of a sexier time for me than right after you had given birth,
mm-hmm.
both times, with Jackson, then Cairo, and then Cass. Like,
DeVal just likes me fluffy, y'all.
He
likes me soft and fluffy.
I know that there's a standard for Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I know there's a standard for Hollywood and, yeah. and beauty in general. And most of the time, that standard is European values. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that just was not my standards. Like, I like you when you got some weight.
He likes
on you.
Me when I'm fluffy and lactating.
I fluffy and lactating. You gotta drink your milk. Need the protein. All right, a mother's breast milk is the most nutritious, fluid on the planet.
That's a fact.
Yes,
that's a whole fact.
So
financially, going back to your initial question,
yeah.
I definitely felt like with our three boys, we were hustling. We were in the apartment. I mean, do you remember them days? We would be circling for parking.
I do remember them days. Like, we circling for parking with
pulling
three
out
boys,
the double stroller, groceries, pulling laundry upstairs, up and down. It was a lot. It was a lot.
And you didn't want to have another
baby. It was
baby
a lot.
In that
and there
type
was
of
no way. Like, I had no desire.
Because you
see
never
that.
Wanted to have two. You only wanted to have one. Jackson
in
had
my
his
mind,
own,
I was yeah. like, we have our one child here, and then eventually we'll move. We'll get yeah. home. But us two not being unsure about where home base would eventually be, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We also didn't want to uproot him and just have him going all around
absolutely,
the country with
absolutely,
us either.
Absolutely.
So yes, in the space that we're in now, I feel like I feel more comfortable. I feel like financially we've set ourselves up where our boys. Mm-hmm. You know, are set. You know, we have a nest egg, we have a home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel the strain of that hustle and bustle that we did back when Jackson was born. So
how much of the family dynamic are you who came into play as far as you know, when you have kids, it's like when you add another child, you add a different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to have four kids.
Yes. That
like
is
that
true.
That was always my I didn't care at the time in college it mm-hmm. was I wanted four boys.
Right.
Like, that's all I said. I only make boys.
DeVal said he only made boys from early.
From early.
So anyhow, this baby is a boy, y'all. Just know that he manifested that prior to this whole daughter yes. talk, okay?
And I'm going to be clear to people. I always talked about wanting to have a daughter because my views on the world and everything has changed since the time I was in college.
Right.
And I wanted to have a young lady to, you know, from you that we could groom to be someone great mm-hmm. and amazing. And I've been proclaiming that I wanted a daughter since you were pregnant with Cass.
Yes, I remember.
And it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And if you are pregnant now with a girl, I'll be excited. But if you're not pregnant with a girl, I'll be mm-hmm. excited. Like,
right.
Having four boys for me is just as exciting as having three boys and a girl. Mm-hmm. But I will say this publicly, that I'm done having kids after this. like I'm pregnant. You know what I'm saying? I'm done.
He's done.
I'm
done.
Four is my limit. No, and I'm excited. Four is dope. So.
Because it's funny. People who have multiple children. I remember even talking to a close friend of mine, Bianca. She was like, you have two kids. It's cool. Because it's like you're not outnumbered. The game changer is three.
Three, yeah. Because now you're outnumbered.
Because now you're outnumbered. So she was like, you can have four. You can have five. And it won't even make a difference. It's like, throw another kid in the mix and then they'll survive.
Yeah, you know, at that point? Bianca got five. And yes, they're doing it.
And they're doing it. And their children are amazing. And they're loved. And yeah. They have, I think when she probably thought she didn't have enough love, then more along comes. Came more love. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm just excited. And I feel like with all the pressures of, you know, going for a girl, because naturally when you have three girls or you have four girls, go for the boy.
Right.
You have the opposite is go for that. You know, so that's just naturally what people are going to want. That's naturally what people are going to root for. They're naturally going to think assume that that's what you're doing this for. But for me, I've seen even more so now how much of a blessing it is just to be able to carry a full term healthy baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
don't cry. Come on. Don't cry. Don't
see, it's
cry.
The hormones already.
It's the hormone. Y'all remember the race car cry?
It's coming back.
I got another story while Kate's crying, unless you want to finish.
No, let me get myself together.
Get yourself together.
Okay.
You okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead, tell your story.
So, y'all know about prenatal hormones. I had a wife who was prenatal and postpartum at the same time.
That's a fact.
So, I'd come in the house late because this is when we had just had Cairo. And Kadeen was now pregnant with Cass. And she'd be like, babe, call me when you're on your way home. So I call her when I'm on my way home. She wouldn't answer because she was either asleep or dealing with the kids. So I get home and I knock on the door and she'd be standing there by the door. And I'm like, what's up, babe? And she'd be like,
and I'd be like, cry really sound like that?
Your cry really sound like that. And I'd be like, baby, why are you crying? And you'd be like, I don't know.
Thank you. They flew in some tissue for me because I'm tissue? Over here. Like, right. My nose is running.
But Kadeen gets so emotional when she gets pregnant.
Guys.
She, like, and it's not only crying emotions. She has angry emotions.
Well, damn, though.
She has super happy emotions. So needless to say, y'all will have a ton of content for the next 7 months.
He can't wait to be documenting all of this. But my tears came from, like I said, having a full-term healthy baby. I know people who are struggling mm-hmm. to have just one baby. Mm-hmm. And I know a couple who delivered a full-term baby that passed away.
Yeah.
So the talk of wanting a particular sex of baby to me is just
becomes trivial.
It's like trivial. You just want to have a healthy baby, and that's literally how I feel, and that's what I'm manifesting for us, and that's what I pray for. And I'm praying for my friends who I know desperately want just one and have suffered countless miscarriages.
Yeah.
Have spent hundreds and thousands of dollars on in vitro and just can't have one baby.
Yeah.
So my heart goes out to those people who are struggling. I understand the loss of a baby as well, having a miscarriage myself. That just makes
I didn't even think you were going to talk about that.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I understand. And I do understand the gift and the blessing in being able to bring forth a healthy baby into this world. So I say that to say, boy, girl, it's all good.
In between Kaz and this pregnancy, Kadeen and I lost a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rough for you.
Yeah.
It was rough for me, but it did kind of teach us, you know, the value of appreciating just life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in part two, it did make me realize that trying to choose the sex of a baby is very trivial when you're just trying to give life.
Right.
You know, give birth and create life. And a shout out to Kariga and his wife.
Felicia.
Felicia.
Yes, sorry, escaped me.
They've been champions.
Yes.
For parents who've lost one. You know, there is no word in the dictionary for a parent who's lost a child. Like for a child who lost a parent, they call them orphans. But there's no word to describe it because it's almost indescribable the pain someone must feel to lose a child.
Yes.
So shout out to Kariga and Felicia.
And they're actually expecting another baby.
I saw that.
They
saw
that on Instagram. I'm so congratulations. Happy for them. I actually cried when I saw it. I was like, wow. And actually, I spoke to Kariga a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to have him on.
Oh, that's what's up. Season six. That is, that definitely.
It would be amazing to have
him. We'll be able to have him and his wife, or maybe
I hope
him.
So, because I'm not sure when the babies do. It looks like may be due sometime soon.
Okay.
So, depending on when season six falls in their schedule and this new baby, we'll hopefully be able to get them on. Hopefully, also to get them in the same space because they're such a powerful
couple.
That would
be dope. Yes.
We met them at Broccoli Fest a couple years back, maybe about 2-3 years now.
Yes.
And was following their journey. She just found out she was pregnant when we met them
at Broccoli Fest.
And then I was following their journey. I really admired how much Kariga was just loving on her. And they were so excited to become parents, and they unfortunately lost their baby girl right after delivery.
Yes.
And have been speaking about the loss of a child and being angel parents. So shout out to Kariga and Felicia. We definitely want to have them on in the future.
Yeah, so I just want to give a huge shout out to Kariga and Felicia and baby Kamayu.
Yes.
You know, it's important that we say her name because what I've learned about that process and being an angel parent is that the child is still here. The spirit is still here.
Absolutely.
And watching them just be happy even in loss and be able to come together.
Yes, and just share
and
their
celebrate
story.
Her, you know, celebrate her. It was like amazing to watch.
It's literally, I feel like whenever I watch their pages on Instagram, I feel like I'm watching them with Kamayu.
Absolutely.
Like she's in everything that they do as she should be. So
it's,
so
it's
that's
to,
that's something that
put things into perspective when, you know, now going to spend the next couple months to grow a life.
Yeah. I know. And it's particularly stressful, I think, for a woman just because you want to make sure that you're doing everything in your power to ensure that you are bringing forth a healthy baby.
Yes.
Some things are out of your control, which we naturally know. But if it means taking your prenatal vitamin, working out, things like that, like you've been on me. I've been super sick in the very beginning of this entire pregnancy. It's been just lots of nausea, lots of vomiting, lots of fatigue. But you have been very also rooting for me to stay healthy and work out. And even on the days when I don't feel like it, you're like, yo, let's just go walk.
I'm on that ass.
You know, literally, he was on that
yes,
ass.
Yes, I'm on your ass.
And
I'm still
here
on
we
your
are.
Ass.
You're still on my ass. So
forever, forever, forever.
You know. So, so yeah. And then the boys, I mean, it's exciting. It's an exciting time for them now too, because it's like they're about to be brothers
big
again,
brothers
big brothers again. And it's going to be amazing to watch them with another baby. And it's funny because I guess Cairo being an older brother and then also a younger brother, it's quite unique.
Yeah.
So he'll be a big brother again. But Kaz.
Now it gets to be.
Kaz, who's my baby, okay?
Oh, boy.
I'm interested to see how he's going to react.
I know
to
how
see
he's
going to
react. Kaz is going to react. He's going to say, no.
No.
No. You want to be a big brother?
No.
No. You want to see the baby?
No.
This is going to be him. Just don't touch my Play-Doh.
That's a fact. Kaz is very possessive over his Play-Doh, okay? To the point where Uncle Brian came by the house one day and was here chilling with us for like a week. And Kaz is at the kitchen counter playing with his Play-Doh. And Brian's sitting next to him eating. And he's like, you know, Kaz, can you go call your cousin for me? Tell him to come upstairs. And Kaz looks at him and he's just like, I will, but don't touch my Play-Doh. Don't touch my Play-Doh. So yeah, it's safe to say that Kaz won't be sharing.
No, he won't be sharing.
At the very least.
I think he'll be all right, but he won't share.
Yeah, he won't share for sure.
All right, let's take a break real quick. Come back, do some listener letters. We got to pay some bills because as y'all know now, we have more kids coming. So we'll pay some bills and we'll get right back to you and listen to letters.
For sure. For sure. All right. Listener letter time. I've composed myself. I've gone through a couple tissues.
Not crying no more?
I've gone through a couple tissues. Do I got boogers in my nose?
Yes, you do.
I do?
Nasty.
Oh, God. Josh, don't zoom in. Okay.
My nose is so happy. That's how she be.
I'll be all the things all at one time. Okay? All the things. All right. Let's jump into our first listener letter. Hey, Kadeen and Deval. My name is Deanna. I have a three-year-old little boy with my partner of 4 years. The main issue I'm having is I have so much mom guilt. Up till last year, I was in school getting a post-bachelor's teaching certificate. That means that my child's entire life, I've been in school. So many of my evenings have been busy as well as my days because I was working full time. Right now, my son is in speech therapy because he's still not really speaking like other children his age. I feel like a large reason for that is because I'm not doing enough for him as an infant and young toddler to spark his language growth because I'm just so busy with school and I tend to let him use the tablet too much while I work or just relax after a full day of work and school. Mm. Not to mention his father, my partner, spends a lot of time telling me how much of an inconvenience it was for him to spend evenings with our son alone and how he never has time to himself. At this point, now I'm done with school. The issue being with my partner and I arises again whenever I do something for myself, like go to get my hair or nails done while he watches our son. What do I do to combat this guilt and come to some kind of understanding with my partner?
You can speak on this.
Yeah, I mean, I understand mom guilt all too real. And I definitely had that a lot in the very beginning with Jackson. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, we were in a space where I had to work at MAC Cosmetics because I was a manager there at the time. And health insurance, I got through the company. So it was imperative that I worked at the company because we needed health insurance. And for that first year and a half, you were on Jackson duty.
I was on Jackson duty. Yes. I was a stay-at-home dad.
So he was a stay-at-home dad for a good year and a half. And I sobbed to and from work.
Yes.
At least twice a week just because I felt like I was missing out on everything.
I'll never forget the, was it Thanksgiving? Yeah, it was Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Black Friday. Jackson was two. And
not even two yet. He was a year.
Oh, he was a year.
Yeah. Or a couple months actually. He wasn't even a year yet.
He wasn't two. He wasn't a year yet. And Kay was getting ready to leave. And
that was one of those schedules where Macy's was doing like the extended hours.
Right.
So they were open Thursday, at midnight.
Midnight on Thanksgiving.
Exactly. On Thanksgiving.
And I remember walking Kay to the door and she was crying. And I was like, "What's the matter?" And she was just like, "I feel like the worst mom ever. Because I got to leave on Thanksgiving to go work." Mm-hmm. And I remember looking in your eyes and I was just like, "I promise you this is going to be the last holiday you work really."
That's real a time. Fact.
Retail. So yeah. I was just putting that in because I remember how guilty you felt. Even though you were doing what you had to do for the family at the time, you felt so guilty.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was going to do whatever I had to do for my family. For me, it was more important to be able to make sure that we had health insurance, we had a child. I was like, Deval and I, we could wing it. But you have a child, you want to make sure that the insurance is in place. Yeah. But one thing that brought me so much consolation was knowing that my husband, my partner, was taking care of my son in my absence, or our son in my absence. You never made me feel guilty. Which it seems like her partner here is making her feel guilty about the time that he spends with his son. But you always made me feel like I have it under control, babe.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But you also told me, too, I'm going to find a way for you to be able to cut back.
Yeah.
So that way you can then have more time at home with Jackson. Yeah. That didn't take away from the complete guilt, but at least it gave me some kind of consolation at the same time. It seems like what you, Deanna, have going on with your partner is this whole like, well, it's like a babysitting my child situation going on here, where I think your partner needs to understand that this is what's required, especially if y'all are working to be together. It needs to be, it's required that you spend time with your child.
But it's
not a babysitting situation.
But I also think on a deeper level, he needs to understand that postpartum is very real and it presents itself and manifests itself in different ways. Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of time, I think mom guilt may be a little bit of postpartum, and if you never get an opportunity to work through that
or address it,
it can be 3 years down the line and you still feeling the residue of not dealing with those issues when the baby's first born, especially for moms who have to go back to work I think it's what they give you, 6 months or 3 months.
Not even. Most some jobs, the minimum is 6 weeks.
So imagine six weeks, and now you have to have separation from your child because you have to go to work. You never deal with that. So for the next year, 2 years, 3 years, you're feeling guilty because you've never dealt with your depression that you've dealt with from postpartum. You know what I'm saying? And now your child, you know, is not developing fast enough, which to me, I'm not a specialist, right? Mm-hmm. But some people expect their children to do things at a certain time that they just don't do. For example, remember when Ricky was saying to me, she had a 3-year-old who they thought had a speech impediment, one of my former clients.
Yeah.
She has 6 children. Mm-hmm. And one of her children, 3 years old, they thought had a speech impediment or a problem because the child was not speaking. They took him to therapists, speech therapists, took him to everything. Thought she was autistic, thought she had all these issues. Randomly one day, chick just started talking and would not stop talking. Sometimes kids just don't want to do what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. And we tend to put this pressure on our kids to keep up.
Or put a label on them.
Or put a label to keep up with what other kids their age are doing.
That's maybe one thing you can't do. You can't even compare your children. Like,
no.
Children from the same two people, you can't even compare them and their milestones, because children do reach different milestones at different times. And we tend to do that sometimes in either comparing each child to each other or just comparing your children to your friends' kids and things like that.
So, that's a good point. Yeah. If you compound that with the mom guilt and the fact that she's not getting the support she has from her partner, it's really not a good situation for that family unit, because then the mom guilt turns into wife guilt or girlfriend guilt. Mm-hmm. And then if he's constantly putting pressure on her, she's never going to have time to deal with those things.
Right.
And then the child is going to suffer because the child's going to feel like, I'm the reason why my parents aren't working out. So,
and also too, I think one bit of, if you want to take away a little bit of, like, understanding that it's okay. It's going to be okay. Deanna, your child is 3. You're hustling, you're doing school, you're working, you're doing all these things now, I'm sure, to provide a foundation in a life for your child. At 3, he's not going to remember much
at all
about what's happening
at
right now.
At 3, no one remembers, you know, from 1 to 3.
Right, exactly. So, like, the speech therapy situation aside, he's not going to remember much of this time. No. So I know that we feel like, oh my goodness, I'm trying to do the best I can. And, you know, my baby at 2 is going to feel like I'm not there. My baby at 3 is going to feel like I'm not there. They may have moments like that, but just know that you're working towards providing a better life for your child. So when your child is 6 and 7 and 8 and can remember mom being present or dad being present, those are the times that really, really matter.
Absolutely.
So if you want to find a little silver lining around the situation, just know that you do still have time for your child to feel like, wow, mom is really investing in me. And I think it's worth a conversation with your partner too. It's not whose life sucks more in this moment situation, or, you know, who's babysitting the child today. I feel like when you can't because you're working and you're in school, and then taking some self-care time, which I think is also necessary, that he really needs to pick up the slack.
And understand too that there's nothing wrong with putting your child on a tablet. Like, you have work to do and you have to
do some learning games.
All of our children have been able to grow their speech patterns through learning games. We got ABC Mouse. We've done the Starfall. Like, we've done so many games on the tablet because that's the new reality. So many kids now are going to school virtually. They have tablets in all of these preschools now. Mm-hmm. It's old school to think that, oh, if I have my child on a tablet, it's a bad thing. Yes, right. If your child is
watching YouTube all day, that's different.
And horror movies, yes.
Yeah.
But if they're working on learning games, that can help them a lot. It helped our children a lot. Mm-hmm. All our children do very well academically.
Yeah.
And the mom guilt is normal. Yes. Don't feel like there's something wrong for you for having mom
guilt. And it's never going to go away. You're going to find something else to feel guilty about as your children grow. So yes, trust me.
Communicate with your partner. Let him know. Let him know exactly what you need and what you want. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that y'all can grow together. So communication is the biggest thing.
For sure. Good luck, Deanna. Thanks for writing in.
Number 2. Coming to you again from Memphis, Tennessee. You two have always, you must be. Oh, this is the second person's listener letter. We must have answered one now. We must have did a good job if they wrote back.
Okay, you wrote back.
All right. You two always have thoughtful and open opinions and great advice, so I'll throw this one out there. The reason I say father, quote unquote, is because it feels weird to call him dad, father without the quotes. My last memories of him weren't great, and that was when I was 4 or 5. I just remember he wasn't there for kindergarten. I'm the oldest of my mom's 3 and the oldest son. In all, he has 10 kids, which I learned of when I was around 28, he reached out a few times over the years, starting when I was 18. I never respond because I honestly don't know what we would talk about, like how's the weather or what you've been up to. His oldest, My older half-sister was 42. His youngest, I think, are a set of twin boys who should be about 8 now. Wow. I don't hate him. I'm pretty much indifferent. I used to wonder what it'd be like having a dad in my life, but I've have so many amazing uncles and other cousins and older cousins that I feel like I don't need one. I think the way I came up is why I'm such an involved father now. Mm. So my question is, do you think I'm missing out on something and not talking to him? Yes, absolutely.
By not talking to him.
By not talking to him. Yes, absolutely.
You feel like he's missing out on something?
Yes. This is his father, right? If his father is reaching out, mm-hmm. his father's doing the work. Mm-hmm. You have to then respond for there to be a relationship. You can't say, I don't have a relationship with my father. My father's reaching out and I don't want one. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to be best friends, but there's a lot of things you can learn about the person who is responsible for giving you life. Mm-hmm. Good, bad, or indifferent, but you can learn. Mm-hmm. Because there are certain things that are inherent that come from your bloodline that you need to learn about. Mm-hmm. And not for nothing, why not? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like what do you get out of ignoring the person who's reaching out to you, who gave you life? I see no purpose in it. If he's a toxic person who's only going to reach out to you to ask you for, you know, ask you for stuff, or if he's physically abusive or mentally or emotionally abusive, that's different. Mm-hmm. But he says he doesn't even remember and doesn't know. Mm-hmm. So why not figure out what it is?
Gotcha. So with his dad extending the olive branch, you think it's worth at least engaging in conversation, even if it's the how's the weather, what you've been up to? I think he's making the effort to try to be involved.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, in parents, mothers or fathers in their older years kind of feel like, you know, they can see that they've made a mistake.
Well.
Yeah, absolutely. They matured. So he might have seen that he, you know, was at a loss not being involved in his son's life and having so many children. Maybe he's trying to kind of just extend those olive branches where he can. So.
This is the truth, man. You can't hold people to where they were when they made a decision that changed their life. People grow. Like people grow. I've learned this. Me and my maternal grandfather don't have a relationship. Mm-hmm. He doesn't reach out. I don't reach out to him. Mm-hmm. And it hurts. Yes, because that's my maternal grandfather. But mm-hmm. the times that I did reach out, I learned a lot about him and I learned a lot about myself. Because mm-hmm. I learned that there are certain things about him that I see in myself. Mm-hmm. And those things that I see in him that I then see in myself, I try not to do that so that I don't put those same traumas on my children and hopefully my children's children. Mm-hmm. So I don't have no hate for my grandfather. You know what I'm saying? I don't really know much about him. I know that he's a stubborn dude, mm-hmm. but not having that relationship isn't helpful at all.
Right.
You know, it's just a blank space that you try to fill in with your own narratives that you can't.
So you feel like in the interactions that you've had with him, you felt like you weren't going to gain anything from that. So it wasn't worth pouring more into it.
I feel like when I did speak to him, I learned a lot about his character. He played a lot of the blame game. Everybody else was the problem. Mm-hmm. So when I saw him pointing and not taking no accountability, I started to realize that I can't really learn anything from you if you're not going
to
be accountable. I can't relate to that. Like mm-hmm. I can't. And if he's not going to be accountable for anything, I'm not going to sit here and let him blame people who are not in the conversation with us. Mm-hmm. Because now you're involving someone who can't explain to me why they made the decisions they're made. Mm-hmm. But what it did teach me was how important it is accountability is for me when I'm dealing with my children. Mm. So when my kids check me on something, I can't then just point to somebody else.
Right.
So
yeah,
I got to be.
The accountability episode that
we had. Yeah. And we talked about Jackson pointing out something that I was doing wrong to you. Mm-hmm. And I had to own that and say, you know what? Daddy shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't do that to your brother and I shouldn't do that to your mom. So let's be better together.
Gotcha.
And I, whenever something happens like that with accountability, I always think of my grandfather because I'm like, seems like he never wants to be accountable. And then him not wanting to reach out to me or my kids mm-hmm. hurt. Mm-hmm. So here you have a dad who wants to reach out and you're choosing to ignore him. Mm-hmm. Imagine you could be, and the thing is you feel like you have the privilege to ignore him because he's the one reaching out. But then if he wasn't reaching out, think about how that would feel.
Right.
So if he's reaching out, use that opportunity.
So there is a lesson at
always
least
a lesson.
In
always
however
a lesson.
Estranged the relationship is, there's a lesson in it.
Yes. And even, and if you find out he's toxic and he's bringing something negative to your life, let it go. But until you find that out, ignoring him doesn't help.
That's a fact. Oh, these were some good listener letters today, I think.
So if you'd like to be featured as one of our listener letters, email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
Should I spell it today?
Oh, let's see.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com. Did I do it good?
Yes, you did all right. You did all right. Mine's be better. You got to have more. You got to have the deadass. You know, it's, you work on it, though. You work
on it.
You know,
it's all right. We changed it up today for y'all a little bit. You know, I was a jump in the gun now. All right, so time for the mock.
Oh, here she go with the mock with her freaking acronyms. Don't start calling it Mott.
It was cute.
No. Mott.
All right, moment of truth.
See,
time.
Well, the thing is, we was using the palm,
The
pull-out method.
Right.
And now we got one on the way.
That's a fact.
So the palm didn't work, now the Mott didn't work. But technically, we didn't use the palm that night because the blue light special, I was in there. And there was no palm was at there. That point. It was
But
it
the
was
minute
no palm.
This baby makes its entrance, we going to talk about the SDB, baby. Snip them balls. Snip them balls. Them. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I did exactly. say on another episode Moment that if truth. You had another baby, I would consider.
Oh, don't even start with that. You
I
see?
I would consider.
Don't start to toe the line, bro.
A V. I can't even say the word.
He's starting to get morning sickness now thinking about it.
I'm so happy.
Moment of truth time. I think we should let y'all know, because I'm sure people are going to ask, are we going to find out what the baby is? We're not.
We're not going to find out.
We're going to wait till.
We're gonna find out when that baby comes out in the water and I catch him or her.
Makes their entrance. And I think it's more exciting that way. As much as I'm like itching and dying to know, we're going to wait.
Can I?
So y'all don't have to wait too.
Here's my moment of truth. Mm-hmm. Here's my moment of truth since we brought that up.
Yeah.
As much as I've been saying I want a daughter, I really just don't care. I'm excited to have a baby. I can't wait till the baby gets here. Because I know if I have a girl, she's going to be my princess. She's going to sit on my shoulder and it's going to be me and her against the world. And then you're going to be jealous and all that. But if I have another boy, I'm going to throw him with the wolves over there. And we're going to be in there like, let's go. And I'm going to just have a pack of four boys
That's
behind me. Like,
I think that would be kind of dope. I'm envisioning, okay, say we were to have another boy, right? Can you imagine like me with like just four, just like grown, handsome young men, just like two on this side, two on that side.
I could see it.
That would be so dope. And then, of course, a mini me would be amazing too.
I could see the two of y'all on vacation.
We're playing with house money, y'all.
We are playing with house money. Yeah. And we thank y'all for all the well wishes and everything.
Yes.
Because we announced a couple days ago. So we appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much. Like, y'all gonna help me get through this race car crying and all, okay? Because it's been a roller coaster, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. And we're just praying for a happy, healthy baby,
yes.
A safe pregnancy, and a smooth, pain-free delivery.
So that's your moment of truth? You just want all that?
All that. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm manifesting. So,
well, it's going to happen.
And we're happy to take y'all along with this for the journey. So thank you so much.
Also, this is the last episode for the season.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So we're going to be on a two-month hiatus.
Yes.
While Kadeen gets through this second trimester.
Mm-hmm.
This is typically the good trimester.
Typically, so, yeah. I'm still waiting for the morning sickness.
Make
to
sure
subside,
you catch up on all the episodes. Season 6, you already know, we're going to take y'all through all of the stories and the journey of pregnancy in season 6. So we'll see y'all in 2 months.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, if you're looking for some Ella's content.
Yes. You know, be sure to follow us on social media at Deadass the Podcast. That's DeadassThePodcast. And who are you?
I'm Kadeen. I am.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Absolutely. Oh, and catch us on YouTube, The Ellis's.
Yes, YouTube.
You can catch some stories there too.
On The Ellis's, follow our pregnancy journey on YouTube.
All that good stuff. We'll be documenting all the way.
We love y'all. Enjoy the summer.
Thank you so much for listening this season.
Yes.
And we'll see you in season 6.
4, baby. Dead ass. Dead Ass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Dead Ass the Podcast and never miss a thing.